For 2 years, Los Angeles-based photographer Elena Dorfman traveled hundreds of miles, making over 25 trips to abandoned, working, and repurposed rock quarries in the tri-state region. The resulting large-scale images in the Empire Falling series transport viewers into the undocumented world of dying industry she discovered there. A new book, published by Damiani, and a solo exhibition through May 11th at Phyllis Weston Gallery in O'Brienville showcase the work. Dorfman's photographs and video installations have been exhibited worldwide at venues including the Palazzo Strozzi, the Florence, the Triennale di Milano, the Walker Art Center, and the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. Her work is the subject of three previous monographs, The Pleasure Park, Fandomania, Characters and Cosplay, and Still Lovers. Elena Dorfman is here in the studio to talk about her work. Welcome, Elena.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Let's talk about how the Empire Falling series began for you and how it ultimately surprised you with the direction it took.
Well, it did begin actually as a portrait project because I went to explore the young adults generally who jump from the rock, the high rock, into the quarry water. And I spent a summer shooting people, I called them fallers, falling from the rock into the water. Not only did I shoot kind of these communities that were gathering there, but I also began to shoot the locations themselves because they were intriguing to me and very beautiful. And as I progressed with the series and I started to look at the work side by side, initially I thought I could incorporate them as one body of work, but it didn't work. Again, it's always trial and error. So I started with the people jumping, and then the work took a surprising departure for me in that I was really mostly interested in the landscape. And it went a step further from there because I started to reconstruct the landscapes over time.
Can you talk a bit about your process and how that evolved with this work?
It was nothing I had done before. It was really a complete departure. So I think just over time, wandering through these spaces and kind of absorbing them and just watching, kind of observing what these spaces were, there was so much work that I shot, thousands and thousands of images, and I only knew that I wanted to kind of create a contemporary landscape of these ancient vistas. And the way I began to do that was by layering them. So they're multi-layered images. They are not straight photographs. Partially that was because I didn't want to mimic other artists and photographers who've worked in the milieu of rock before. So you're always looking for a way as an artist to make something your own. I just simply knew that I didn't want them to be straight landscapes, though I didn't necessarily know what I wanted them to be. But as I shot and then edited and looked at the work, I began to make cutouts of the images that I liked, and I would literally spread out thousands of images in front of me and start putting them together, literally just pieces of paper taped together, having some idea of what they might end up looking like in my head. So they began as paper constructs. I wanted to incorporate so many pictures, and the only way I could do that was by starting to layer them. And again, that was a totally new process for me that ultimately I'm very happy with.
Did that feel overwhelming? I mean, when I hear you talk about thousands of images and laying them out and layering them, it sounds like it could easily just kind of swallow you up.
It was completely overwhelming. It was trying to organize not only just physical cutouts, but also I had to conceive of what those cutouts would look like in the end. So hopefully they're somewhat conceptual images, though, based on actual landscapes. It required a lot of research, a lot of time. It was really all-consuming. I found myself not being able to do much more other than figure out how to put these landscapes together. And that was only, again, physical form and in my head, step number one. It also had to then be digitally constructed. So when I had the physical cutouts that I liked and I had taped them together in a somewhat arbitrary manner, I then had to go into the computer and pull the actual digital files and start working with them. And that was also very much trial and error. Sometimes what I saw in my head and on the cutout didn't translate to an image that I wanted in the end. So it was constantly going back and forth and really a pretty laborious and time-consuming process.
when we see these final images, we're not seeing a particular quarry, but it's really this larger idea of the quarry that began to take place in your mind as you work through this process.
Yeah, I would say that's true. I mean, some of the images are more abstract and surreal because I felt the spaces themselves were innately surreal. And some of the images are almost what I saw, yet they combine myriad images shot over the course of 2 years. I'd say I borrow the images from another shoot or another month. I basically shot over every single month over the course of 2 years. So I would get different kinds of weather, different kinds of skies, different kinds of light. And all of those elements are incorporated into each picture.
I'm thinking about Empire Falling, number 21, that depicts this graffiti-laden rock face. Can you walk us through the process of making that particular image from the moment that you began shooting?
Sure. Friends brought me to that quarry. It was sort of about 5 hours south of Cincinnati. And I was able to photograph from the water, from almost directly in front of this giant, absolutely enormous rock wall. And that was also something different. Normally, I'm very far away because I'm standing on the top of a rock or I'm at a very far distance. I can't get to the rock. I can't get to the water. There are spaces that I can't reach. But in this case, I was actually brought in a boat right into the water, right to the rock's edge. And over the course of 2.5 days, I shot morning till night over and over again to kind of capture the way the light was hitting the rock at different times of the day, which also the light makes the rock different colors. So my intent was to reconstruct this rock wall, which is what I did, although it's a quarter of the size of the actual rock wall, which was really just gargantuan. So I shot maybe 1,000 pictures of that rock wall, and I then began the printing and cutout process and basically reconstructed the wall. Again, it looked not dissimilar to the wall that I saw, but it has been entirely reconstructed. The tree line, the water elements, and it's incorporating numerous pictures shot over the course of those 3 days, as well as photographs shot from any of the various explorations I had done earlier. And for me, that particular piece is very interesting because it's almost like a tablet, a book of time. Rock geology and rock witness time, and photography witnesses time. So I felt that the way that this was constructed really was not only watching sort of the rock evolve, but also the taggers, the graffiti artists, the people who had come before to mark their name and their place and their time in stone.
I found myself thinking about the epic 19th century painters, Albert Bierstadt, Frederick Edwin Church, and Thomas Cole, who first saw the American landscape as worthy subject matter for art and who preserved awesome vistas that most people would never experience and that would soon be lost. You've done something like that in your photographs of these isolated quarries. Did any of this legacy enter your thinking as you worked on Empire Falling?
Sure, and I had to do enormous amounts of research. And of course, the Hudson River School painters were involved in my thinking, as was really historical imagery from the libraries throughout the Midwest, which I visited. The images also include archival images. Also, I looked a lot at painters, at painting, at Kiefer, Anselm Kiefer and Gerhard Richter. Also, surrealists, Joseph Cornell, Man Ray, Florence Henry, Gustave Le Gray, San Francisco graffiti artists. Really, it incorporated almost everything was fair game to kind of catalog in my brain and try to incorporate somehow.
What ideas do you want audiences to take away from this work?
I very much want the viewer to be able to sort of walk in a way, and look at this picture. I've constructed it in a way, especially printing them on this hard metallic paper, which lends a somewhat 3D effect to the pictures. So it's very important for me that the viewer feel that they kind of can walk in and be a part of the landscape they're looking at. Also, the landscape is changing, and I think that was really interesting and something that I was very much struck by, how these, again, ancient sites are evolving into recreational sites, scuba centers, housing developments, and that's an interesting perspective for the viewer to take away, not only what these active and abandoned quarries look like now, but what they're potentially going to look like in the future.
Thank you for talking with us, Elena.
Thanks for having me.
And much success with your work. I've been talking with Elena Dorfman, whose new series of photographs, Empire Falling, is on view through May 11th at Phyllis Weston Gallery in O'Brienville. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Judith Turner Yamamoto.